So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. And Matthew is the 40th book in the Bible, and it's the first book of the New Testament. And maybe you haven't heard about the book of Matthew, but the book of Matthew is in the Bible, and it's just simply a biography of Jesus Christ, the things that he said and the things that he did. And there's actually four biographies in the Bible of Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these four books, they're also called the Gospels. And the word gospel means good news. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ is good news. Amen. And every person who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I think there's a few people in this room who claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But listen to me. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to be the real deal. Don't just say it. You need to become familiar with these four biographies. And it's very important that you become familiar with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because if you don't, you will simply lose your faith. You need to get into those four biographies, those Gospels of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now, about 800 years ago, chapters were added to the Bible. And then around about 500 years ago, verses were added to the Bible. And I'm really glad they did that, because chapters and verses make it easier for us to navigate our way through the Scriptures. So this is my Bible. It's got approximately 880,000 words in it. And I'm glad there's chapters and verses so I can find my way. And so today we're going to look at Matthew 25. Matthew has 28 chapters in it. And chapters 24 and 25, in those chapters, Jesus clearly spoke about the last days of the world and his return, because one day Jesus Christ is coming again. Yes. And I am one of those people who really believes with all of my heart that we are in the last days. Yeah. Right. And so this passage we're going to look at today is about something that will happen following the return of Jesus Christ. Now, this message might upset you today, might make you sad, might make you mad, but don't get mad with me. You can get mad with God if you want. But I'm hoping that this passage in this sermon today will make you glad. Amen. So here we go. So stay open, and if you do get uncomfortable, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So we're reading from Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and we have the Scriptures on the screen because there's just so many versions, English versions, translations of the Scriptures. So here we go. This is the NLT version, and it says this: "But when the Son of Man," and that's Jesus, Jesus is speaking about himself, "comes in his glory," that's the future, "and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left." Just want to pause there for a moment. One day in human history, one day will come to an abrupt halt. It will suddenly happen on the day that Jesus Christ returns. And then, at some point, all the nations of the world, that's past and present, will then be gathered before his throne. So this scripture is really important to you. See, some people say to me, "I don't want to know about God. I don't want to go to church." People say this because it's not relevant to my life. Seriously? How dumb can you be and still breathe? This is really relevant to your life. Yeah. See, this scripture is important to you, and it's important to me, because we will all be among the nations that will be gathered before God's throne. So this is relevant to everybody in this room, and you want to know what's going to happen because we're all going to be there. And that's the whole point of why Jesus is talking about this. He's trying to tell us what we can expect. And on that day, all the people will be separated into two groups. Just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, Jesus will place the sheep on his right hand, and that's a sign of blessing, and he'll put the goats on his left. So we'll continue reading. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. That's an interesting line. It doesn't say, I was sick and you healed me. Just a thought. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones, those on his right, will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and he'll say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Let's just stop there again for a moment. See, whatever your opinion is about the afterlife, everybody, you just better read that verse again and seriously consider it. Because this is what Jesus said was going to happen to those who were placed on his left after he returns. Let's continue. Then he says, I was hungry, he didn't feed me. I was thirsty, he didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, seriously, Lord? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? If we'd known it was you, we would have helped you. When did we see you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And then Jesus said, and then they will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous will go into eternal life. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So there are the options, the two options concerning the afterlife. Eternal punishment or eternal life. Two options. And everybody in this room, there's so much garbage being said out there on, you know, YouTube and stuff. Don't let anyone tell you that there is in the future, in the afterlife, don't let anybody tell you that there's some in-between place or some sort of purgatory or something like that, because that kind of thinking cannot be found in the Bible. Jesus said there are two options, and Jesus doesn't lie. He says, I tell you the truth. Jesus does not lie, so we need to take what Jesus says seriously. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to get a drink of water. Because I'm thirsty. Amen. So we've read about the final future separation of all people into these two groups when Jesus Christ returns. There will be those on his right and then those on his left. There will be the sheep and the goats. There's the blessed. There's a disgraced, two groups of people. And while this passage centers around our response towards people who are needy and vulnerable, this passage, I want to clear this up, is not saying that a person will go to heaven because they've been doing good to others. That's not what this passage is saying. And how do we know that? We know that because that would contradict the rest of the Bible. We know from the rest of the Bible clearly tells us that we will only go to heaven if we have faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in what he did for us when he died on the cross for our sins and when he was resurrected from the dead.
There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He who believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the Bible is very clear that you cannot earn your way to heaven by your good works. Rather, you must trust in Jesus Christ in order to be made right with God. But this passage, which is so important, is comparing the fruit or the signs of those who are righteous with the fruit or the signs of those who are cursed. And the fruit and the signs that matter most to Jesus Christ concerns how we respond to those who are poor, vulnerable, and in need. And so in this passage, King Jesus talks about the hungry, the thirsty, strangers, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. And the thing that all of these people have in common is that they have a great need and they're highly vulnerable. When you're hungry and thirsty, you're very vulnerable. When you can't feed your children, you are vulnerable. When you are drug addicted, you are highly vulnerable to all manner of abuse, especially women. Today, because of war and famine, I was reading about the war in Sudan, another 15 million people being displaced right now in that region of the world. But because of war and famine, they're just huge masses of refugees moving around the world, and they've lost everything, everything except the clothes they're wearing. And as they try to survive, and many of them will not, they end up as strangers in foreign lands. And people with such great needs, they're vulnerable to sickness. They're vulnerable to a shorter lifespan. They're vulnerable to misery, fear, and vulnerable to being exploited by others. And sadly, this is how life is for many people around the world today. And this is how life is for some people here in our own community. And we all know that. And so, of course, we're Christians and we want to do something about this. Yeah. We get moved by the needs of others. Our hearts get all stirred up when we're confronted with the plight of the needy and the broken. Yeah. And we get angry at injustice and abuse. We cry easily at the pain of other people. And there's so much injustice in this world today. There's so much abuse in this world today. Overseas, even here in Australia. And so we try to help other people. We put ourselves out so we could somehow alleviate suffering and bring the hope of Jesus to others, yes, especially the children. Yeah. Yeah. We go the extra mile. Yeah. We pledge to missions to give support to our workers who are helping the vulnerable in other lands. You know, even as I'm speaking right now, we have courageous missionaries, and sometimes we just take them for granted, courageous missionaries who are sacrificially working with desperate refugees right now. Yeah. And we have people in Tanzania right now who are digging wells to supply water to the thirsty. Thank God for that. Yeah. And all of this is able to happen because your heart has been stirred to give and to help the vulnerable. We are compelled by our hearts to try and make a difference, at least in one person's life. Yes. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Yeah. And there's this kind of response to the plight of the poor and vulnerable. It's this kind of response is what normal followers of Jesus do. Amen. It's normal. Yeah. Freely you have received, so freely give. And you want to give. Of course you do. We can't sit back and watch people suffer and go to hell. You got to do something. Yeah. We can't sit back, watch people suffer and not feel anything in our hearts. What kind of Christian could do that? Yeah. How could you not be moved? Yeah. Our born-again hearts won't allow us to do that. We just have to be involved in helping the needy and the vulnerable. And that includes the spiritually needy and spiritually vulnerable too. And this is what King Jesus will say to us on that day when he returns. He says, he'll say this to you. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. Oh, you put yourself out to care for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones, as us, will reply, Lord, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When do we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to us on that day, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Wow. He didn't say you were doing it for me. Please, he didn't say you were doing it for me. Some of the translations say that. That's actually incorrect. He said you were doing it to me. Get your head around that. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.
Yeah, so good.
So Jesus so closely identifies with the poor and the vulnerable that he says that when you help them, you're helping him. Helping the poor and the vulnerable is very personal to Jesus Christ. When you feed a hungry person, you're feeding Jesus. When you give a warm cup of coffee to someone who slept on the streets, you're giving the warm cup of coffee to Jesus. When you give a man some shoes for his bare feet, you're giving shoes to Jesus. When you give a stranger a blanket for the night, you're giving a blanket to Jesus. When you give your monthly donation to support a child with Access Hope or Compassion, we have a Compassion Child. When we give our money to the Compassion Child, we are supporting Jesus.
Yeah, so good.
When Hans puts his arm around dying old lepers, and I've been with him, I've seen him do it. Where Hans works in Thailand, there's a little leper village, and all the leper people there, they're dying out now because they've nearly eradicated leprosy in Thailand, but there's some older people who still suffer the consequences. Some of them can't see, some of them don't have a nose, some of them just have stubs on their hands, some of them can't walk because their legs and toes have gone and all of that. It's horrible. And Hans goes there and he puts his arms around them and loves them. When Hans puts his arms around somebody like that, he's putting his arms around Jesus. Whenever you give practical help to another person, whenever you give encouragement to another person, whenever you pray for another person, whenever you do something to help the needy and the vulnerable, you are doing it all to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the person you're helping, they might not be a Christian. They might not be singing the praises of God. They might use words that you haven't heard for a while. They may be grumpy. They may be angry. They may have a mental health issue. They may be unpleasant. And you know what? They might not even be grateful. But Jesus Christ identifies with the poor and the vulnerable, whoever they may be, even if they are an atheist. Therefore, if you want to like, if you would like to encounter Jesus, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in church, you know, we talk about encountering Jesus, and all that's legitimate. That's fine. But here's another way of looking at it. If you want to encounter Jesus, then go and minister to someone who's poor and needy.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Go on a missions trip. You want to meet Jesus? You want to have an encounter with Jesus? Go and put your arms around somebody who's poor and needy.
Yeah.
And you could say, I'll put my arms around Jesus today.
Yeah.
It's really funny. We live in a strange world, I guess. You know, we're celebrity obsessed, aren't we?
Yeah.
I can remember one time meeting Kevin Rudd in the airport. I literally bumped into him. He'd just been ousted by Julia Gillard. And we're on the same plane together. I says, Kevin. He says, David. No, he didn't. But I was surprised he had nowhere to go. He had a minder there. And so we chatted for 15 minutes. I want you to know it was a pleasant chat, and I had a pleasant conversation with him. And I really respect the man for even giving me his time or attention. But, you know, he's a famous guy, isn't he? I thought, that's cool. I met Kevin Rudd. Then in the airport, lo and behold, same airport, I bumped into Bert Newton and Patty. So I had a chat with them. Very nice, obviously, before he passed away. Very nice, and we had very lovely people. And I said, see ya, yeah, God bless you. Then I bumped into Lisa Wilkerson. Remember Lisa Wilkerson? But she wouldn't talk to me. She kept on walking. Amen. And some people, remember, you know, they have the autograph book so that, you know, you go to a concert, you get your celebrity, you know, to write his name there, or whoever the celebrity is, you know, Brad Pitt or whoever, I don't know. We get taken up with all these people. But we can say that when we've fed somebody who's hungry, we met Jesus Christ. I think I would rather meet Jesus Christ than all of the celebrities. That's all I'm trying to say. For when you minister to the poor, whether physical or spiritual, you're ministering to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And King Jesus has prepared a new kingdom in the next life for those who have compassion for the poor and vulnerable in this life. Actually, what's really interesting is that passage that we read, and we could talk about this another day, it says there right at the start, it says God's prepared a new kingdom and he prepared it at the foundation of this world. Very interesting. He had another creation going on while he was making this world here. He knew ahead of time that there's going to be a redeemed people who will be going to his new kingdom in the afterlife. He's prepared a new kingdom in the next life for those who have compassion for the poor and vulnerable in this life. And that's what we just read. You give to Jesus and he will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running all over. On that glorious day of Christ's return, King Jesus will place you on his right hand. And that means he sees what you do.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out there and you're helping somebody, you're going into Coles and somebody just needs a meal and you go in, you come back out, you give them a meal, nobody sees it, he saw it or she saw it, but Jesus sees it.
Because
you're giving it to Jesus.
Yeah.
And you will be then positioned for blessing because you've been fruitful. See, that's what it's all about. And that fruit of caring for the poor, everybody, reveals the work that God has done in your heart since you were born again. Every now and then, someone from outside our church will come and speak with me. Maybe it's a pastor or somebody like that. Somebody nice, somebody just wants to have a chat, visit our church. And this is what they'll say. They'll say something like this. Happens so much. They'll say, we've heard that here at Real Life Church, we've heard that your church is a strong missions church. They say this. And we've also heard that you have a community services program. You give out lots of food every week and do showers. I have people say that to me, and then they'll follow it through saying, wow, that's really unusual. That your church is an unusual church. And they'll say this because many churches don't have missions program anymore. And many churches don't engage with the poor and the vulnerable. I know churches that have just stopped supporting missionaries. In fact, we've picked up a few missionaries here because other churches stopped supporting them. So I know what they're saying is true. I know that some churches, not all churches, I know that some churches just don't support missionaries. They do. Instead, they just focus upon themselves. They've got their own thing going on. And people then who talk to me about this, they say these things about a church, and what they're trying to do, they're trying to be complimentary and they're trying to be nice to me. And they're trying to express their admiration. But they don't understand that when they start talking like that, it upsets me. I try to smile, but what they say just upsets me and disturbs me. I don't feel, you know, their admiration. It grieves my heart what they're saying. And that's because giving to missions and helping the poor is meant to be the normal practice of all churches and all Christians. There is no excuse for a church or a follower of Jesus Christ to not support missionaries and not help the poor in some way. Yes. According to your resources, I get that. This is meant to be everyday Christianity. Yeah. I thought it was.
Yes.
Maybe people are reading another Bible. I just thought missions and helping the poor was everyday Christianity. And I think there's something seriously wrong when a church is doing something that is meant to be normal and others call it unusual and admirable. Seriously. That's weird. It's meant to be normal for Christians to get stirred up about the plight of others. It's normal when your heart is moved with compassion for the broken and the vulnerable. It's just normal for a Christian to make somebody a coffee or a meal or give some clothes when they meet someone in that kind of need.
Yeah.
How could a Christian who's received forgiveness for their own sins and the promise of eternal life see the pain of the poor and remain unmoved and not be bothered by it? How could you do that? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth.
Yes.
We are followers of King Jesus. Yes. Helping the poor and the vulnerable in the name of Jesus is what we do.
Yes.
It is the fruit. It is the signs that Jesus looks for in our lives.
Yes.
Indeed, it's meant to be the normal practice of churches to support missionaries. And to support our missionaries, and you think about the missionaries, they lay their careers and plans and dreams to one side so that they can preach the good news of Jesus and help the vulnerable in places where we cannot go.
Yeah.
And there is nothing radical or unusual about doing any of these things. I don't think we're a radical church at all. I just think we're a normal church.
Amen.
There's nothing radical or unusual about supporting missionaries or the vulnerable. It's normal Christian behavior because we are carriers of the love of God and carriers of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Could somebody shout amen?
Amen.
I know this has gone on the internet. Amen. So I'm hoping some pastors will listen to what I just said. Amen. I did that on purpose. Amen. Because missions matters. Vulnerable people matter. So here at Real Life Church, I just want to thank you all. I want to thank every one of you for staying true to what Jesus Christ has called us to do here at Real Life Church. Thank you, everybody at Real Life Church, for being a normal Christian. Thank you for generously sharing your love and concern for others. Thank you. Thank you for not being inward looking. Thank you for faithfully honoring your mission pledges. And we've still got to get that number all accurate for this last financial year. But you have been honoring your faith pledges. Thank you. And I know it's been hard. Interest rates have gone up. Roger, we know all about that. Churches' interest rates have gone up too. You know, and things are expensive. But you're still honoring your mission pledges. Wow. You must be normal Christians. Thank you for being patient and caring with the poor and the needy and the addicted who frequent our services. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you for being kind to people when they come in. Thank you for giving your heart in so many ways. And as your pastor, I just urge you, everybody, stay the course. Stay the course. Keep being a normal Christian. Don't let the currents out there in Christian land that are not in line with the scriptures, don't let them take you off course.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on the word of God. Keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
look after the missionaries, care for the poor, because on that last day when you stand before God, that's all that's going to matter.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So on that day, I want to say it again. God, beg your pardon?
I said, thank you, David, for leading us well.
God bless you. Thank you. On that day, thank you, the King will say to you, come, Real Life Church. You are blessed by my Father. Actually, could you want to stand as I just read this over you? Come on. On that day, the King will say to you, come, you are blessed by my Father. And then he's going to say this to you. And everything about your life, you know, centered on what he's saying to you, will say to you in the future. He will say to you, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. He's saying, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to bless you. I saw what you did and what you pledged and what you prayed. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. For when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Hallelujah. So may God bless you. May God bless you. And I know sometimes you can become weary from doing good. May the Lord refresh you in Jesus' name. Because you're going to reap a harvest soon. The Lord bless you. May God strengthen you. May the Lord Himself meet all your needs. As you give to others, may the Lord give back to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.